Our scripture reading for the first day of Advent, the first Sunday of Advent, is from the Epistle to the Romans. Besides this, Paul writes, "You know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. Let us cast off then the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." This is the scripture. Dear fellow believers, have you perhaps had that experience of going to a strange place where you're staying overnight and you get up in the dark, it's very dark, and you're trying to go someplace, and you can't quite get oriented. You think you're going in the right direction where the path is clear, but then suddenly, bam, you hit a stool and it hurts your shin. Ever had that experience? Yeah, well, just the last few nights, my wife and I have been staying in a strange place. Actually, a very gorgeous place. It's right on the Oregon coast, down by Walport and Yahas. But it was very dark in the night, and one night, actually every night, the older men particularly understand what I'm saying. I was trying to find my way to that certain place, and lo and behold, I thought I know where I was going, and bam, hit my shin. Paul is writing about the darkness. The darkness not of a strange place where you're trying to find your way to that place, but the strange situation of the darkness of our sinful world. And he pictures us as living in a world that is dark with sin and corruption. But he is calling us as Christians to be people of the light in the midst of darkness, because we are people of the light. We have the light of Christ that gives us light, just as if you flipped on the switch in that room and suddenly you could see where everything was. And so Paul calls us as Christians to live in that light. Living that life that follows Christ, a light-filled life in a world that is very different from that. St. Paul in the book of Romans actually writes the most complete, it's the longest letter, but he writes the most complete expression of the Christian faith. And he starts at the beginning with law, telling us how the law shows us our sinfulness. He says, the more one sees God's laws, the more one recognizes that the law says we aren't keeping them very well at all. And so the real purpose of the law is to tell us all, Jews and Gentiles, because he was writing to a congregation that was mixed, Jews and Gentiles, that all of us have broken God's laws. But then in chapter 3, he comes with the gospel, which is his whole purpose for mission work, right? Sharing the gospel. And in the gospel, he tells us that we are right with God. We have a good relationship with God, not because of how well or poorly we keep those laws of God, but because God is such a gracious God. He has come in Christ to take away all of our sin, to free us to be God's people and to live in that life of God's grace. And then finally, in the rest of the book, he's talking about how we live as God's people. He does have a section in there where he regrets the fact that the Jews, many of them, have not yet accepted Christ, chapters 9 to 11. But interestingly there, he says, ultimately, all Israel will be saved because God is true to his promises and he promised salvation to the people of Israel. But then he goes on and he talks about what it means to live as the people of God. And that's what he is saying in our passage, how we should live as the children of God, children of the light. That third section is what we often call sanctification. If knowing God's grace is justifying us before God, how do we live a life where the Holy Spirit works in our life to sanctify us, to make us holy, to be people who walk in the light rather than in the darkness? And then at the point of our specific scripture, he says that you should be living that light, that life in the light, because the end is near. There's an urgency about coming to the light and living in the light, because he said, we don't have much more time. The end is near. Sort of like the two pastors who took some signs out on a country road, and they were trying to be helpful, so they stood on the side of the road, and one held up the sign, the end is near. The other one said, turn your life around before it's too late. Well, a car came along, and the guy poked his head out and said, oh, you religious nuts, go away. And he drives on down the road, turns the corner, a curve there, and not very long, they hear crash, and then bubble, bubble, bubble. Well, of course, it's that car. And so the one pastor turns to the other and says, do you think maybe we should just hold up a sign that says, bridge is out? But they were concerned that these people know that the end is near. And in St. Paul, what he means is the end of this world as we know it, life as we know it. You see, we Christians really do believe that God is going to bring an end to this life and to this world as we know it. We don't know how soon, how long. St. Paul in his time thought it was so close that he said, basically, if you're not married, don't waste the time and energy to get married. If you are married, don't waste the time and energy to get rid of the old man. Because the end is near. And so Paul is saying, because the time is short, it's all the more reason for us to live as people of the light. Live as people who reflect that light of God. That reflect the light of forgiveness, of grace, of mercy, of compassion. Reflecting the fruits of the Spirit. Remember those fruits of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all those good things. He says, let us live that way rather than being people of the darkness. Because the alternative, the life in the darkness, is not a pretty scene. In Paul's time, the scene was the Roman Empire, which was very corrupt in its own way. Sexual immorality was actually not only permitted, but it was practiced religiously. Literally. They went to temples. If you were in a Roman city like Rome or any of the larger Roman cities, you would find temples to different gods and goddesses, and there they were practicing that religion, which often involved sexual activities.